Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
With the outage on Friday, Jess not being able to do a show on Friday afternoon, we were left a little bit sad because in particular, we'd been building towards something for 2 weeks that was a lot.
If you haven't had a chance to see, we went live for your final performance with your trumpet. You declared a couple of weeks ago that given a trumpet for 2 weeks, you could learn how to play the Cats theme song.
Or something that could be confused as the Cats theme song. And now it could have been, Jess, my fourth instrument that I have learned how to play the Cats song on, currently sitting at recorder, harmonica, and also the flute.
Yeah.
So working my way through the blowing instruments.
You're really doing well.
Went to the Mall, just near the bus stop here, at least in Geelong off Moorabool Street. But on the walk there, Jess, you were trying to get me in the headspace, trying to gear me up. I was feeling a little bit nervous, you know.
Well,
performance
not just
in front of people.
Not just as your friend, Tim, but also as your music stand. I really,
yes.
Know, I had a lot of skin in the game.
You did have a very important role because we don't have a music stand here for my sheet music. But here's the headspace heading into the performance last Friday.
2 weeks has all come down to this man and his trumpet.
Timmy and his trumpet. We're not allowed to say Timmy trumpet too close to one another for legal purposes. But 2 weeks is all I've had to learn the Cats theme song, where someone walking by, if they heard it, could say, I think that sounds like the Cats theme song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're aiming for today.
So we're here. We've got a stage.
The crowd is gathering. Get in here if you
can. Anticipation is building.
All right. We're about to blow. Pre-show nerves.
Yep.
Right.
How are you feeling?
I have done a lot of genuinely nervous farts.
Good thing we're outdoors.
I ate a lot of food last night, though, so that's all right.
There are a few people walking past wondering what's happening.
I'm just as I was saying to you before we started recording, we're about to go live on Instagram. We are going to, I'm trying to get in the blow zone, essentially.
Right.
I need to find the right zone.
Mm-hmm.
So
we just had a little practice and you sounded really good. So,
but it makes me worry that I can't replicate that
when there's people around.
Just don't
look at anyone. Look at my back.
Well, I have to look at the sheet music. I don't remember it. But thank you.
Just picture them all naked.
All right. Nice.
I can't stress enough. It sounded like you genuinely did a toot.
No, it was with my mouth. It's going to be sad packing the trumpet away, but after this, Jess, we are going to play Jason Derulo trumpets to celebrate the
stunning
best instrument in the world, the performance itself at the Mall in Geelong, trying to play the Cats theme song.
It was incredible to see a whole bunch of people stopping in their tracks.
I really didn't like the group of school kids. It's my biggest fear. High school kids looking at me. I'd rather get punched in the face.
It was like a group of like 30 students, and they said, "What are you guys setting up a camera for?"
And I just said, "Go back to school. What are you doing here? You don't need to be sticking around." So I did pass on an even larger crowd.
Sure.
But just a quick recap again. Finally, we'll get to the result of this. 2 weeks to learn the trumpet, trying to learn the Cats theme song. You said a public performance would give me the fear that I need to be able to perform at a level that it could be understood.
Well, because you made the bold claim that you could learn the Cats theme song on the trumpet in 2 weeks.
You were there by my side, not for support, but for practical reasons. You were my music stand because I didn't have one.
You taped the sheet music to my back.
And I appreciate it.
And in front of a crowd of tens of people.
Tens, some would say.
We had the final performance.
We're here at the Mall, as you can see, just near Little Mallop. And 2 weeks is all I've had to learn how to play the Cats theme song on trumpet to show that anything is possible, kids. Anything.
And I am Tim's music stand today. So I guess let's have a blow. Is everyone ready for Tim's performance? Yay! What a crowd. Okay, here we go. You can do this, Timmy. Yes! best you've ever done it.
I was hoping so. Oh, someone, thank you for clapping. Thank you.
What do we think? Did it sound like the Cats theme song? It's pretty loud.
It was very loud.
Yeah, I think we've done Dan the Trumpet Man proud. Okay, what do we think of Tim's performance?
That was the best so far, definitely.
It actually sounded like the Cats theme song, right?
Yeah, I understood where we were most of the time in the song.
Were you singing along as it was happening?
Wild.
Out of 10, how do we think Tim went?
8. Yeah.
That's pretty strong. That is very strong, considering we started the week at like a 1. I didn't think we'd be able to do it. And he actually kept on tune for most of the time. I'm not musical, though. I mean, how do we think?
No, I knew what it was. I recognised it. I'm giving him a solid 8.
You'll take solid 8s, Jess.
You will take solid 8s.
Wow.
What an improvement.
Yeah, from way to go, it was...
Yeah.
I tell you what, that's probably my favourite instrument of all the recorder, the flute, and the harmonica. That's my favourite to play the Cats song on.
You did
so
say
far.
To me as we walked back to the studio after your performance, like, should I make this my thing now? Like, should I be a trumpet guy?
And I keep realising that Timmy Trumpet owns that space.
Yeah, he really does. He's nailed the market.
But he's a nightclub DJ. Mm-hmm. I ain't staying up that late. I'm happy to do matinee trumpet gear, you know, in the early afternoon.
I feel like maybe the Wiggles could use a trumpet player.
High money there. Yeah. Just careful, you don't want to lose me forever. No, thank you to Dan, our trumpet man, who did teach me and lent us the trumpet. So from the Itchy Feet Band, you might have seen him at GMHBA Stadium on Saturday night.
Yes, we really do appreciate you, Dan. And Tim has your trumpet.
Mine now.
It is
mine.
Know,
it's totally mine.
It is ready to be returned.
Totally my trumpet.
And I am looking forward to never having to listen to the trumpet again in this office.
Someone put a padlock on it. I can't open it anymore.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, yesterday you might have seen I went to the Winter Glow at Adventure Park.
Looks so cool, man.
It was genuinely such a fun night. I think they've got a couple. I think they extended it for a couple of days. I think they've got a couple more that are still open if you wanted to go. Essentially, it's like a lot of lights. There was an ice carver there. Fire throwing people.
Sorry, for someone who works in radio, you're just doing a bang up job at describing this. So basically, it's lights. It's lights, right?
It's a lot of lights.
A lot of lights.
I have not been to Adventure Park before. Not since I was a kid.
So
for me, it felt like a brand new experience. And Akshay and I got there quite early, so we went and played mini golf.
Well, your husband is a bit of a... Got to be there on time stickler, so I appreciate that.
He was like, it looks like it's going to rain this afternoon. We should go early, beat it before the rain comes, which we did. But it meant that we got there before the lights went, the sun went down. So the lights don't look as spectacular when it's like the mid-afternoon.
Yes.
So we were like, what are we going to do to kill time till we can look at the lights?
Yeah.
We'll play some mini golf, right? That was pretty much everyone else's idea as well. The mini golf was pumping. And there's like a couple of different courses you can choose from. So me and my husband grab our little, what are they called? Golf sticks?
Putters.
Putters. Thank you. God, I'm really good at this describing
thing. I would really like to see the PGA Tour where they're like, all right, Rory McIlroy, the number one golfer in the world, he's just getting his golf stick here. And he's getting hit from pretty far away. Here we go.
So we had like a family of 5 in front of us. And there was like a family of 6 behind us, all on the same course as us. So, you know, everyone's taking their shots.
That's mini golf.
And we got to like, I think the 8th hole, and the kid in front of us, there was this family of 5. There was a little kid, couldn't have been older than 6, right? He gets a hole in one.
Nice.
Hole in one.
Smooth.
Everyone's clapping.
That's why I love mini golf. You can be 80 or 80 months old and you can get a hole in one.
It was a really tough one too. Like you had to get up the hill. And there was like 2 rocks that you couldn't get through. It was very precise. Yeah. And this 6-year-old.
Here's one human being describing the layout of a mini golf course hole.
It's important to the story.
Okay.
So he gets it in a hole in one. And then the dad notices me and Akshay. And he's like, oh, you guys want to just play through? Like we've still got a few more.
2 people is going to be a lot faster.
And you would think. Because up until that point, Akshay and I were getting most of the holes. It was a pretty easy course. We were getting most of them in like 2-3 shots, right? Which I thought was pretty good because neither of us are golfers.
Or 6 years old.
Yeah. So we're now putting out, no worries, okay, we'll play through. We put our ball down in front of this family. Tim, when I tell you it took me 8 shots.
Oh, no.
I started trying to cheat. And the dad goes, no, back to the start.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to make us keep going. Like, it got to the point where it was almost comical.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to just move on. Just
kick the ball in
this
the
just
hole.
Let this just call Can this I, one a write-off.
Bit of fun fact for you, and if you're listening, this is my not just mini-golf fear, but it's my golf fear.
Right.
Because I play by myself mostly. And there'll be like big groups of sometimes up to four people. And they'll be like, you go through, mate. And I'll be going, I'd rather not. I'm not real.
We're happy to wait. I'm happy. We got nowhere to be.
I'd rather be here for another hour than you have to see me tee off.
So it took me eight shots.
That's pretty bad.
And then Akshay put his ball down.
I forgot about your husband.
And he's on his sixth shot. And he hits his ball into the water.
Oh, no.
On the mini golf course, Tim. Mini golf course, yeah. So then we had to go and fish his ball out of the water.
Yeah.
And the dad still insisted that we play through. Yeah. And I was like, I think we can call this one. I don't reckon we need to
throw your putter into the bush. Be like, oh, I guess I lost it. Anyway,
so, yeah.
Have fun at prep tomorrow.
We went to get a hot chocolate after that.
Nothing makes you feel good after that. Tim and Jess, the podcast. I'm not super across big name chefs. Jamie Oliver's up there, Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
The big two, Curtis Stone.
Yeah. Remember his $10 meals that he used to do for Coles?
Yeah, now they're... I think someone tried
now
to
add they're 75. Yeah,
it's not the same. It's not the same anymore, Curtis. Stop trying to make it feel like it's the same.
Nigella says microwave instead of...
Nigella?
Yeah, Nigella Lawson.
Oh, could I?
Yeah. She calls it a microwave instead of a microwave.
Can she cook?
Yeah, she can.
All right, well, good. She's illiterate
she
as well.
She uses her microwave.
Okay, good for her. Have you ever heard of the celebrity chef Paul Hollywood?
No.
Apparently known in the UK as the king of bread, which is...
Oh, okay.
I mean, saying adding of bread to anything with the king in the UK is probably smart. Just anything.
Yeah.
Like, let's not just call yourselves the king. Like, all right, if we're going to be the king, you've got to be the king of bread. You might recognize his face. Hard to describe it on the show.
Sure.
I understand that.
Okay.
But being the king of bread, he came out over the weekend and he put...
I do recognize his face.
Yeah, so I know his face, but I've never seen him, you know...
I didn't know he was the king of bread.
Throw a loaf down, if you know what I mean. But apparently, he's put an end to the age-old debate. Now, I didn't know this was an age-old debate.
Here we go.
He's made the final call. And he said, keeping bread in the fridge is a big no-no.
Oh.
Bread in the fridge.
I keep bread in the fridge.
What?
What do you mean?
In the fridge.
Yeah.
Not in the freezer.
Both.
I understand freezer because you go, all right, well, you're not going to get mold if I freeze the crap out of you. But keeping it in the fridge.
So it keeps it fresher for longer.
I've got the button. Jess, Paul Hollywood, the king of bread.
Yeah.
His Highness would be appalled. I didn't think that Australians were keeping bread in the fridge.
100%. I keep bread in the fridge. I keep wraps in the fridge. Mm. It just like, it seals in the freshness.
Well, can I tell you, that's a lie. if you store bread in the fridge, it will stale three times quicker because you're drawing all the moisture out of the loaf. To be honest, I just put it in a brown bag and leave it to the side. That's what I've been doing, but I've just been doing it because I'm like, well, that's where bread goes.
Sure.
Not out of just, oh, I'll just put it off to the
Do
side.
Do you have a bread bin at home?
No.
No? Just raw dog it on the bench?
Not on the bench, in the pantry little thing. My wife, actually, I've been putting the bread in the wrong spot. I found out last night. We have this little crate where we put onions and potatoes, and it just fits perfectly in this little crate.
Right.
A loaf of bread. She goes, well, that's where onions and potatoes go. And I was like, but perfectly.
Do they contaminate one another?
No, because it's the bag.
Of course.
The bag. But... regardless, I didn't think people were putting bread in the fridge.
I didn't know people weren't.
It makes so much sense to me that you wouldn't put it in there because, yeah, it's a cold environment. Bread is yeast, my
guy. Yeah, but most of the time I'm not, like, having raw bread. Like, I'll toast it or I'll, like, put it in a sandwich press. Like, I'm not... I'm heating it up anyway.
It's not about heating it up, but you're taking the moisture out of it. So it's taking away.
So is the toaster. No,
you're just cooking it again. There's a difference. 5223295 This is what, and now I'm completely stumped because I was going to say, does anyone put their bread in the fridge? Turns out anyone is sitting across
does
the
table. Does anyone else?
I'm glad that finally my guy, the king of bread.
Yeah.
Is coming out here and putting it to bed, in the bread bed.
If I've left bread out on the bench 2 days, it's gone. I can leave it in the fridge for a couple of weeks.
I just think you've just been doing it because you do it and for no other reason. 5223295 Do you keep your bread in the fridge? Caleb from Thompson, you've given us a call. Caleb, do you keep your bread in the fridge?
I certainly do there, Timmy. I've even got a label that says bread.
A label? What do you mean?
The fridge was labelled where bread goes, so bread goes there.
Oh my God.
So like on the actual, like the compartments that are inside your fridge, it says, hey, yeah, this is where
I've got
you put
like
your bread.
A fruit and vegetable drawer. Yeah. Do you have like a bread shelf?
I have a side for where the loaf of bread goes.
I need this fridge, Caleb.
Paul Hollywood clearly wasn't consulted in the design of this fridge.
Clearly
Fujitsu
not.
Would be ashamed.
He'll be all right. He'll live. He'll just have to eat the bread 3 days earlier.
Caleb, it does stay fresh for longer, though, don't you think?
I don't see the difference.
Yep. Well, I agree.
It's just the person who, no offense to yourself, Jess, or you, Caleb, like the actual chef in this conversation, I guess, is saying that you shouldn't do it because it takes the moisture out of it. And
yes,
it makes
but
it...
so does my toaster, Tim. My toaster is also taking the moisture out.
Jess,
it's heating
can
the
I
bread
just,
up.
Can I just pass on from one mate to another?
Yeah.
I'm worried about how dumb you're sounding.
Caleb, do I sound dumb, mate?
No.
Thank you.
No, but Tim did call us silly sausages, so... Yeah.
And where do you keep your sausages? On the roof? While we're at it? We're being absolute nonsense.
No, you keep it in the sausage compartment. Okay. In the fridge.
All right.
In the sausage, the meat section.
All right. Well, Caleb, I didn't think I was going to play this for you. I was about to play for Jess. We haven't seen this in months on the show.
No, don't.
It's about time.
No one needs to hear this.
Here we go. You're under fire.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Just play the song.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Caleb, I'm sorry, but man, you needed that. Go back, have a think, and we'll speak to you another day. All right, Caleb?
Certainly will. I'll think about it tonight.
All right, perfect.
When I put my bread in the bread.
All right. Well, you know what, Caleb? That's rude. So I had to.
I don't have any control here. I can't turn our microphones off. I can't push any of the buttons. Caleb could have hung up at any point. He sat through the whole thing.
No, he know he needed to hear that. And he'll be better for it. Trust me. I don't like pressing the button, but sometimes it needs to be pressed.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, were you aware that a couple of years ago, Japan appointed a minister for loneliness and isolation?
That didn't come across my desk. Thank you for passing it on.
Apparently, this is a very genuine thing in Japan many people are living in isolation, yeah. And that so many people are so like cripplingly lonely. They've actually appointed a minister in charge of loneliness.
It's actually, all jokes aside, this actually sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the things that being very Japanese, they've created an app where people can meet someone. And it's more than a dating app because that special someone could be an AI bot.
But do you want... Why do you want that?
The new app launched in May. Essentially, it already has over 5,000 users, Tim. Essentially, it's like a dating app, but on the other end, instead of dating real people, you'll talk to different AI robots. And then you could even match with those robots and become married to those robots.
It started so promising. Why would you want to start a relationship with something that's not?
Well, because essentially
living?
It's a generative AI robot, and the more you swipe, the more you have conversations with these bots. The bots figure out what you are looking for in a person, and they will customize to you, the perfect person.
Right.
And that way you're feeling lonely and you don't want to leave the house.
No.
You can have very meaningful, deep conversations with an AI robot.
But what about the physical sense of that? Like they're not creating a person.
Apparently, people are having very fulfilling relationships with these fake people.
You know what we don't need? Heartbroken robots. that have reason to turn on human beings.
Well, the robots also get to, you know, like talk to multiple people, I guess.
We're already in a world where AI, literally there are people in the tech world that say AI is developing too far and, mm-hmm. like, do we want to see like a Terminator situation where AI is rising up?
These are robots
and
that
are
now
loved, not only are we mistreating them, but say you end up breaking up with your AI partner, they're heartbroken and they're now gathering. They're like, oh, you speak to Kinjitsu? Yeah, he was a bit of an ass, wasn't he?
There's already been a couple of breakups. This 24-year-old Miku, he was married to his AI partner, decided that he wanted to get a real-life divorce about 2 years ago. He's now onto his second marriage. And he said, I come home to an empty house. I'd love to get married for real again, but it's hard to open up to someone when you're meeting for the first time. So here I am. I'm dating and I'm married to this AI bot.
Interesting set of paperwork to take in for that divorce. I just don't know if we should break robots' hearts and give AI another reason to overthrow us all.
I think it's a great idea. If people are lonely and they're struggling, and there's someone there, real or not, to give them a nice, heartwarming conversation at the end of the day. What's the harm?
Terminator is the harm.
Okay.
But yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
I'm not the Minister for Loneliness, but...
You would be in this country.
What does that mean? I could be helpful.
Yep.
I have a lot of experience.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Jess, you and I are both pet owners. You've got a kitten.
Yep.
I have a doggy, a puppy. Mm-hmm. Her name is Remy. She's a Kelpie Collie. She's about 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. Your cat, Penny.
She will be 7 in February.
Yep, she is a Russian tortoiseshell.
Oh, it's so close. Yep.
What is she?
She's a calico.
Okay. Well, she's a cat. And cats and dogs, any type of pets, you would say cats and dogs are the most likely to be within a household, right?
Yeah.
Always wanted a ferret. Think they're hilarious.
Isn't it funny? Do you ever look at your, like me and my husband sometimes will look at Penny and we'll be like, oh, we just have a wild animal in the house.
Yeah. And then you feel bad about it. You go, oh, God, you could have been. Oh, but then I go.
No, Penny would not have survived without us. We've given her a life.
No thriving whatsoever. Yeah. But I'm just going to ask you a straight up question. Are you in the nude around your pet?
Yeah.
Never have you ever in the entire time.
Well, I'm going to cover up in front of Penny.
Yeah.
No, that's
like
weird.
Through any animal that you've ever had growing up, any pet, you've never felt weird being nude near it.
Like, sometimes we might kick Penny out if we're going to have some...
Greco wrestling?
Correct. Yes.
You love Greece. You sure do.
I don't know about doing that sort of thing in front of a pet.
But has it happened in front of... Have you wrestled... In the Greek style.
Sometimes we've wrestled and we've noticed Penny has entered the room while we've been wrestling. And I feel guilty about that. But being in front of her nude,
totally fine.
Totally fine.
Sometimes
she watches me in the shower.
Doesn't she come and lick the... Well, you lick your legs after the shower?
No, she just licks the bottom of the shower.
Oh, that's less... It's still not normal, but it's not weird. Now, the reason I bring this up, Scratch does this thing called the Great Australian Dog Survey. Mm-hmm. And I know that doesn't include cats, but essentially it's encompassing all pet owners. 89% of Aussie dog owners are fine with letting it all hang loose in front of their pet pooches. But 11% of people just aren't on board. Some people saying they've never been nude in front of their pet. Because
have you been nude in front of Remy?
Hanging out with the girls. I don't know what I'm doing, but yes, 100%. And it's I'm getting changed or I'm coming out of the bathroom and I don't know. We're just big hairless dogs and cats to them, right?
Especially with cats. I'm not sure about dogs, but cats don't realize that you're a human. They just think you're a very large hairless cat, which is why Penny's always like trying to groom me and stuff.
Because you look at it and you go, all right, besides collars, they're essentially in the nude as well.
Yeah.
But you know what I don't do to keep it fair? I don't lick my own bum hole in the living room.
And we all thank you for
that. Yes. But I have to put up with this.
Yeah.
And look, death stares in my eyes.
Yeah.
burning a hole through me. But yeah, some people are very uncomfortable saying there needs to be some secrecy between yourself and the pet. And I just find that really interesting.
If you are uncomfortable in front of your pet, I think there's a deeper underlying issue there.
I'm interested. I want to know this 11%. This is a good minority to be in. I'm keen. If we have someone that's listening and you'd like to get in touch, 52232955, why are you prude? Let it all hang out. Just a dog or a cat. Get over it.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.